Hello, I'm Josh.
And I'm Christy. You know, we all have family picture frames. Frames that reflect the people who bring us the most joy, but also the people who can bring us the most frustration.
Yet, no matter what, the people in those frames have your back, and you have theirs. Regardless of who's in your frame, you're in it together. They are your legacy.
Welcome to the In This Together podcast, where we go behind the scenes to share stories from our own crooked picture frame.
And interview guests to discover how their stories can give us insight on becoming families who live, love, and lead well.
Because you're not alone. We're all in this together.
Today's podcast is brought to you by 22-6 Parenting, an online community designed to help you disciple your kids to live, love, and lead well. Check it out at 226parenting.com.
Last week, we had an open conversation to dads about what your wife really needs and how to support her. We've gotten a lot of great comments, a lot of conversation around that. This week, we're talking about an open conversation to moms, what your husband really needs. This is one I'm really looking forward to.
I know you are.
Let's talk about me.
I know. I liked the other one because I was able to blame you more. Can I say blame?
No, you can't say the word blame. We're not blaming each other. That's not what this is about.
No, I know.
This is about support.
Yes.
It's about being in the same locker room.
Right.
Right? Because that, and that was in our wedding vows. That was one of the things Christy and I talked about in our wedding vows. We played off of our love for sports. I told her I would fight for her and not with her. And she said to me, "You are my teammate." And we did pretty well for the first few years of our marriage, and then we had kids.
Yeah. Our first opponent came in 8 pounds, 1 ounce.
Our first opponent. That's right.
And just pummeled us.
Yeah.
Though we're not sure how they do that when they're so tiny, but.
And I mean, kids challenged our early years of parenting. And I think as we meet with more and more families, we're seeing that same trend that marriages tend to take the biggest hit when kids early on come in to play. Yeah. Physical intimacy kind of takes a hit. Sexual intimacy.
Kinda. Did you say kinda? Kinda. It does.
Kinda.
A major
does.
One.
It takes
a
hit. Fortunately, you know, we're recovering from that, which is really good. I didn't get any feedback. I didn't get any reaction.
I just
from
looked
you there.
Straight down.
I didn't get any reaction from you there. So that sexual intimacy takes
There's
a hit.
There's other people listening to this. I'm embarrassed.
You have emotional intimacy that takes a hit. And I was hoping I'd get a rise out of you a little bit, but I didn't get anything. You just kept staring down.
Deadpan.
But truly, though, our kids are not to blame for our childish behaviors between husband and wife. Particularly
it's not a kid
one
issue.
Another.
It's not a hard issue. That's yes,
right.
Agreed.
That's exactly right. It's a hard issue. And so we want to talk today about really what we as husbands need. I can remember this. I can remember when you were at your lowest. I can remember when you were at your lowest. And you were at a spot where I came in the door and I think I got my head bitten off.
That's dramatic. But maybe.
Okay,
I will tell the story of that day because I remember it vividly. Kennedy was a baby. I actually don't remember. There's really no vividness, I guess, in that season of life. So she was a baby. She was small. Landon was a toddler, so that was hard too. And I remember I was in navy blue sweatpants, a gray t-shirt. I was literally spackled with banana and sweet potato because she was trying to eat food. It was terrible. Anyway, my hair was in a ponytail. I had no makeup on. I was exhausted. I hadn't really changed for the day at all. I hadn't washed my face, probably even brushed my teeth. Is that gross? It's probably just true. I don't know. You waltzed through the door and you literally wafted in this smell of this latte or this coffee shop that you had just been at.
Smelled a lot better than you did.
Yeah. And you walked in and you started talking about all the great things that you had done that day and meetings you had had and projects you were working on. And I stood there in the kitchen with a spoon in my hand, our daughter in her high chair, and I just burst into tears. And I remember that I said to you, why don't you ask me about me? And then I said something like, why don't you ask me about my heart?
Yeah, but you were also dealing with back issues at the time.
Yeah.
You, as you describe it, your adrenals were shot.
They were. Yes.
That must have been from naturopath or somebody that you were seeing.
That wasn't even that. I was like a year later
about
that
your adrenals.
I realized that.
And so...
And I think that actually is, that's something we have to honestly talk about maybe in another episode, but just like actually caring for moms. I've learned that that's a really big factor, like medically in young moms. But anyway, go ahead.
No, for sure.
That's like super important.
Well, and it connects to your emotions, in your emotional state.
Yeah.
I can remember me, I'm coming through the door and all I'm thinking of as a dad and as a husband, all I want is for Christy to, so instead of walking in with the attitude of how can I serve my wife? How can I see what's going on in her mind or what's happened in her day? My instinct is to walk in and be expecting her to ask me about my day. Mm-hmm. My expectation is that she's noticing how hard I'm working for our family, that I am getting a pat on the back.
Right.
Because that's what I need. I need a good pat on the back. But, and I was doing good. I was confident. I was feeling like I could conquer the world. But literally, within a moment, I went from feeling like I could conquer the world to feeling like the biggest failure on the planet. And I just want wives to know that our feelings as men can fluctuate between those two extremes pretty rapidly, though we won't tell you. We're going to withdraw instead. That's because you are the one person on the face of the planet that holds the most power in making us feel either extreme. That we can feel like we can conquer the world or that we feel like we're the biggest failure on the planet. And in your defense, you didn't know you were as burnt out as you were.
No, it really wasn't until that point. But what you just said is super powerful. And like that really gives me pause. Because I think maybe as women... I think just in general as people, the words that fly out of our mouth, we think very little of until after the fact. And I think we have no idea the damage. I mean, we talked about the tongue, you know, the power of the tongue. That what you just said there is like literally kind of takes my breath away because I don't think we understand the power that we have. And I think in my defense, if I'm supposed to defend myself, I'm not sure, but I...
I'm not sure if I'm supposed to... Is that real? Am I allowed to defend myself right now?
Because I think the point is we're talking about you and what you need. But I don't think I knew... I was under so much stress. I didn't even know what I needed. And it wasn't until that point. And that's, I think, the trouble is that I allow it to boil to a point where... I try to just take it on and take it on to a point where it snaps until it breaks. And I realized I needed to ask for your support and rest, but it was too little too late. And so the body language becomes a whole lot less subtle and more pronounced over time to the point that when you come home, you feel like you are the problem, right? Yeah. And I think it's at that point when I make you feel like the problem, we're no longer a team anymore. Like I'm just... a critical opponent of you.
Yeah. And I remember you talking about that. I remember this conversation pretty vividly where I just wanted to help you and you weren't letting me. Mm. You felt like you were going to burden me because I was already working so hard for the family. You didn't want to burden me anymore with your own stuff. And I think here to give grace to the moms and the wives listening here, like you don't burden me with your stuff. And the illustration you gave me that day sticks so vividly in my mind.
I'm actually really scared about what you're about to say.
Well, you described it as a ship. And you said, my ship is sinking. And all I feel like is you are patching one little hole. Mm-hmm. I feel so overwhelmed right now. And if you're a mom or listening to this or a wife listening to this and you feel so overwhelmed in the moment with what's going on in the trenches of your family life. And your illustration was, I feel like my ship is sinking and all you can do is patch one little hole.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think we had that conversation at the point where it just felt like, I felt like you were frantically trying to patch this hole, but it wasn't fixing the big problem. I was just going down and you were trying to, let me take the kids here. Let me do this. And
as I'm trying to do that, I'm getting criticized.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling like, and when we criticize one another, we become opponents in different locker rooms. We're no longer a team.
Right.
And, you know, I think go ahead.
Well, I was just, and when I criticize you, we've now learned that just puts you on the defensive, right? Which makes,
yeah,
I
would get defensive because
that's, that's what I'm saying.
I didn't want to connect with
you. You are on the defensive.
Yeah.
You don't want to you don't want to pursue me. And so it just sends this cycle spinning because then I feel you're almost attacking me.
Yeah. And I just want to say this as we have this open conversation. Please don't let your ship get to this point. Mm-hmm. Ladies, don't rob your husband of his innate desire to protect you as your teammate. We need you as husbands to tell us when you need help. You won't burden us. Mm-hmm. In fact, I believe it's quite the contrary. And this is what I've experienced with you. When you ask for help, you're noticing that we have what it takes to help you. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to that feeling that we can either be conquering the world or the feeling of being the biggest problem on the planet. Mm-hmm. Like we don't have what it takes. Even acknowledging the fact and noticing the fact that we want to help is enough to make us feel like we can conquer the world. And for me,
wow.
The moment that I saw Christy as my teammate again was the moment I felt like you noticed me. Mm-hmm. It was the moment that you noticed me. Even as measly as it was as trying to patch that little hole. And here's the reality. When you notice that I have the ability or that you notice me as even trying to patch that hole, mm-hmm. what it does is you're no longer the opponent anymore. Mm-hmm. You're not the opponent. The opponent is the floodwaters. And here's what I think is also important. I don't even need for you to believe that I can save that ship. Hmm. All I need is for you to at least notice me trying.
Wow.
And if you notice me trying, that's all I need to want to pursue the daylights out of your heart and to support you in any way that I possibly can. Just by you noticing that I'm doing everything I can to help, rather than criticizing, rather than being defensive. And again, this is super hard to do in the moment. Like we are,
right.
We don't get this right all the time. We do not get this right all the time.
Well, and just, I'm sitting
here. For the podcast listeners listening, I want you to understand, we don't get this right all the time, but this is the depth of it.
Well, and it's when our defenses are down that we've actually been able to sit down and talk about this stuff. But in the moment, it's too heated to, you know.
That's correct.
When my feelings are hurt or I'm feeling overwhelmed, I mean, this isn't the time to be like, you're doing such a great job. Or I don't think to, but now I know to do that. But even to the knowing of that, I mean, that is so powerful. And I'm sitting here as you're just saying this, wondering to myself, why is it? I'm asking myself this question. Why is it so hard for me to acknowledge when you have done something well or when I see you trying, to say, this is something I think I've gotten better at, but to say, thank you for how hard you work for our family.
Hmm.
When I see you, you know, stressed and overwhelmed, or you just come back from a big day, thank you for how hard you're working for our family. And I've seen what that's done in you, but I don't know why that's my like last thought to acknowledge that. Or thank you for taking the kids to play outside. Thank you for unloading the dishwasher. Thank you for giving the kids a bath. I mean, I don't know why is that? But it's not difficult, but I think what you're saying is doing those things is what like mounts you up to do it again.
Yeah. And I think even too, I mean, even as specific as, you know, whether it's a piece of furniture that we buy and I put it together, or, you know, doing landscaping around the house or that kind of thing, and you going, wow, like you have what it takes. Like I didn't know that you could do that. I really didn't even know that you could do that.
I do say that sometimes.
Like those kinds of things just build you up, like build me up in such a big way. And I think, but I think the flip side of this is true too. And I think, you know, as we have this conversation and have it in grace, you know, one of the areas that I fail is not noticing the same thing in you, how good of a mom you are. Because I think that's core for you. And this would go back to last week's conversation, but how core it is for you to feel, to hear that you're a good mom and that you're doing a great job, and being specific about that. Like when you're sitting down with our kids and you're teaching them their ABCs, or you're teaching them, you know, how to read, or like when you are specifically doing those things, it's easy for me to just look over that because I already know you're a great mom, but you don't hear it enough. And so I think, you know, as we talk about being in the same locker room, after a game, as you go back to the sports analogy, after a great game, what are we doing in the locker room? We're supporting one another. We're encouraging one another. We're saying, hey, what a great hit you had. That was a great catch. Whatever that looks like. We need to be doing that in the locker rooms of our marriages, especially as it relates to a relationship with our kids and how we're performing, like how we are doing, like where we are doing well as dads, where we're doing well as moms, and seeing that in each other, because that's what this conversation is all about. As we meet with and speak to parents from all over, the consistent frustration in the home continues to be around one topic: screens.
We believe becoming digital mentors to our kids is the answer.
And we finally found what we consider to be the best parental control product on the market to help you do just that. It's called Forcefield.
Yeah, we like it for three reasons. First, it's very family friendly. It's not spyware, so the kids are part of the conversation right from installation. So it's not about turning parents into spies, but instead puts kids and parents into a conversation about responsible online behavior.
Second, it's very easy to use. In fact, it's so easy that Forcefield doesn't even have an installation or user guide. It's that easy.
And third, it gives you everything you need. It shows you all the websites your kids are browsing. It lets you turn off apps during homework or sleep time. And it also shows you copies of the photos they're sharing on social media. So you can see and manage all of this right from your own phone.
It's called Forcefield. Go to josh.forcefield.me and try it for free for 30 days.
Yeah, and so we kind of boiled it down to three ways that we found, again, within conversation between us, where husbands feel noticed. So three ways that we as wives can help our husbands feel noticed. And the one is that men care about their work, but they care more that you care about their work.
That's right.
I was like stunned by that.
Yeah, and acknowledging each day that you champion who he is and what he's fighting for, no matter what he does. Asking him about his work projects. Ask him about what he's passionate about. Even what exhausts him, what he doesn't enjoy. Maybe the fears that he has. And making sure that you tell him how proud you are of him, especially as a husband and a dad. When you acknowledge him and acknowledge that you care about his work, it matters. Because we don't feel then like we have to compartmentalize our worlds between work and home. It's a united front.
I was just going to say that, because I think as wives, often we can feel left out of your work, like we're not included. And that's something, it's like a private part of your life that you go off and do without us. And this is a great way to bring, to walk ourselves into your room, you know, into your office, or figuratively, but that we insert ourselves there in a great way where we're asking those things of you. Because so often we just don't ask.
And I think too, you know, what's important about this is men also invite your wives into your work. Be willing to invite your wives into your work. Be willing to share. Because I know sometimes she might be asking, and maybe it's not the right time of the day. So there's times where Christy will ask me about things that are going on in my day, and it's the last thing. I've compartmentalized already, and I'm at home. And I do not even want to talk about work anymore. I don't want to. I'm at home. And my brain space is at home. Just simply to be able to say, can we talk about this at a different time? Because my space is at home right now with you. Let's talk about, let's dream together. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about your day. Let's talk about, but in those moments, go back to it. Make sure you go back to inviting her into your part of the day, whether it's the next morning, you're getting ready for work, whatever that looks like, getting back into that headspace where you are inviting her in, and allowing her to be a part of that. Not shutting her out of that. So,
yeah,
because she'll want to care more about it at that point. Number two is, and I think this is true. We talk about living, loving, and leading well. And a lot of you listening are leaders, your pastors, your leaders in your communities. The more of a leader your husband is in the community, the less likely he will have trusted confidants. And so I think it's important as wives to notice what he's struggling with, to notice where he has fears.
And just to be that, is he able to be emotionally vulnerable with you? I mean, can he cry with you? Because the greatest leaders we've learned are the ones that have the ability to know that they're feeling and share their feelings. But that requires us also to take notice of what's going on in your heart.
Yeah.
And the more we can do that, I think the more of an authentic life you can live. Because it's not just the public face of what you put on when you go out the door to work.
Yeah, we have a place to...
There's a place to be you, and I think as wives, we can help you kind of marry those two together.
Well, and to be, you know, I'm going to go back to last week I talked about Tim Keller and talking about fathers do not exasperate your kids. He also has a quote in his book, The Meaning of Marriage, where he says everything in your life could be going incredibly well. Your job could be going well. Money could be coming in. Things are just going well. But if your marriage is not strong, you enter into the world in weakness. But the opposite is also true. Everything in your life could be a mess. Maybe you're unemployed. Maybe you don't have a lot of money coming in. Things just aren't going well. And your marriage could be strong. You enter into the world in strength. Mm-hmm. And it's that safe place to be able to just be who you are.
Yeah.
You've done a great job of that with me, just in terms of fears that I have and things like that I'm able to, even though you see them as irrational sometimes, you don't tell me they're irrational. You just listen.
Thanks.
Which is good.
Thanks.
And then the last one is that sex, let's talk about sex again here, baby. Sex is more than just a physical act for men. And again, we talked about this in a previous podcast episode, 5 Everyday Ways to Build Intimacy with Your Spouse. So if you would go back and listen to that one, it would really be a great episode to listen to. We talk more in depth about it. But this really just comes down to the whole idea that when it comes to intimacy, men feel loved by having sex, by having physical intimacy. And it's not the same way with you.
No, women need love in order to want to have sex.
They need to feel loved. You need to feel loved.
And
we can talk more about this. We talk a lot about it in that other podcast episode. But the whole idea here, and this is what's important, is being aware of the differences and having conversations about it. Because the Bible says to not let your marriage bed go for too long, only by prayer and fasting. And the reason for that is because it really does connect your hearts. Mm-hmm. It really connects the hearts of each other. And it's just, even though we're wired differently, we have to have conversation about it. And this is not conversation to feel coerced or forced into sex in any way, shape, or form in your marriage. That is not in any way what we're talking about. Right. It's not biblical submission. It's not understanding to be understood. It is not truly loving your spouse. Truly loving your spouse is serving your spouse. It's giving of sex, not the receiving act of it. Just like for me, coming in the door and looking for Christy to give me a pat on the back because of my day, if my expectation is that, that's not the way to be walking into the home.
Hmm.
Walking into the home is to be serving. That's the power of the marriage. And I believe it goes back to the reason of this is because marriage is a caricature of the Holy Trinity. It's the only human earthly relationship that's a direct caricature of the Holy Trinity. And when you look at the Holy Trinity, they are honoring, adoring, and glorifying one another. That's the joy that they experience, are constantly honoring, adoring, and glorifying one another. And I believe that's what we want out of these conversations. How can we better honor, adore, and glorify our spouse in all that we do?
And I think basically what this boils down to, as a wife, wanting to support her husband, what you really need. When you feel noticed, you will pursue and support me better. And when I feel pursued and supported, I'll be able to notice you more.
It's a cycle.
It is. And I think that's the cycle I want. I mean, that's the cycle I want for us. That's the cycle I want for my kids.
Well, and here's why it's important, is because if I'm not feeling noticed, if your husband is not feeling noticed, he'll go to a place where he does feel noticed.
Exactly.
He'll find it in his work. He'll find it in whatever. He'll turn to whatever place he does feel noticed.
Yeah.
God forbid it be outside of the marital relationship.
Yeah.
In terms of another woman.
And not to say that, you know, as wives, we hold that responsibility to prevent that. But there's a lot of proactive right. things we can do to cause you to feel noticed and just known and acknowledged. Mm-hmm. And I am walking away today even just feeling convicted again. I could just do a better job. I mean, I know we can all just do better jobs at loving people, but this is a real practical way to just acknowledge, just to make you feel noticed and recognizing the importance of it. Because I think in my own head, it just, you know that you're doing a good job. You know that you're working hard. You know you are such an amazing dad and you do so much around the house and with the kids. I don't think you need to be told, but you do. And it's the same with me. You know, you would probably assume, you know, I love you. You know, you're a great mom, but I still want to hear it. Yeah. And so it's just putting on the other lens of you can't hear it enough. And so,
and I believe that's why God created marriage is for us to be able to honor, adore, and glorify one another. And I hope that's what you get out of these conversations as we talk genuinely about our own struggles, our own fears, kind of even just the way that we connect in our marriage, that you seek to first understand the heart of your spouse, seek to understand in order to be understood. That's emotional safety. That's the posture of emotional safety, seeking to understand your spouse so that you can really see how you can best serve them, honor them, adore them, and glorify them. I believe there's no greater joy than to experience that in a relationship. And that's why God created us to begin with. So that's the heart of this conversation today. I hope that it's helpful for each of you. If you know someone who could listen to this podcast today, go ahead and share it with them, share it with others, and leave us a review on iTunes again. We would love to, the more reviews we get, the more people learn about the podcast. We love journeying with you, and if you want to continue journeying with us at an even deeper level, especially as it relates to discipling our kids, check out 226parenting.com. It's based on Proverbs 22:6, and we are journeying together with families, and it is a joy doing it. Please check it out if you haven't already, 226parenting.com. We will see you next week.
For more information and resources, or to connect with us, go to drjoshandchristy.com and come find us on Facebook or Instagram at Dr. Josh and Christy.
And be sure to head over to iTunes and subscribe to the In This Together podcast. We'd love if you wrote a review. The more positive reviews we get, the more people learn about it. Tell a friend and be sure to send us ideas, thoughts, or questions you'd love for us to cover on the podcast.
It's an honor being in this together.
We'll see you next week.